All right, guys. Well, about 4 weeks ago, about a month ago, I started a series for you guys called Growing in God, Growing in Your Spiritual Walk with God, Growing in Your Spiritual Relationship with the Creator of this universe, God Himself. And, you know, in the natural realm, guys, you were born out of your mother's womb, right? And you did not remain a baby. You became an adult, right? A responsible adult. And guys, it's the same way in the kingdom of God. You know, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you were born as a baby into the kingdom of God. You were a spiritual infant. But the question for you tonight is this: does God want you to remain a spiritual infant in your relationship with Him? The answer is no. God wants you to go on to spiritual adulthood in your walk with God. So about 4 weeks ago, I began this series called Growing in God, Growing in God. And last week, we kind of did a different sermon, a different message called A Mother's Heart as the Reflection of God's Love for You, because the previous day was Mother's Day. And you know, guys, I just want to tell you tonight that God loves you so very much. And the world's love is a selfish love. We don't love perfectly because we're imperfect human beings. You know, a lot of times in the world, people say, you know, if you do this for me, I'll do this for you. If you pat my back, I'll pat your back. If you do me a favor, I'll do you a favor. Guys, that's selfish love. And a lot of times, that's the way people love each other. But I'm here to tell you tonight that the love of God for you, guys, is a pure love. It's a perfect love. It's an unconditional love with no strings attached. God says, I require nothing for you to do nothing in order for me to love you except one thing. All I require is your heart. All I require is that you dedicate your heart to my Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior. That's the only thing God requires of us. You know, His love is unconditional. There's no strings attached. You may have messed up once and twice and many times. Well, guys, He's not the God of just a second chance. He's the God of a third chance and a fourth chance and a God of many chances. Amen? Because He loves you perfectly. And we spoke about that last week. And part of the messages in the weeks previous to that and growing in God was fellowship. Now, guys, how many people here know that we become like the people that we associate with? You're known by the people that you hang around with and spend a lot of time with, right? You know, we've heard it said that birds of a feather flock together, and you eventually become like those that you spend a lot of time with. And part of growing in your relationship with God is finding mature Christians and building relationships with them. You know, Paul the Apostle wrote to the Corinthians. He said, guys, listen, bad company corrupts or defiles good spiritual character, because there was these people amongst the Corinthians that were teaching that there was no such thing as the resurrection. And Paul the Apostle was saying, he said, if you keep hanging around these people and fellowshipping with them, they're going to corrupt your spiritual character. They're going to pull you down. So guys, the opposite is true, is that good company, godly company, enhances or improves your spiritual walk with God. Amen? Amen? So guys, part of growing in your spiritual relationship with God is watching the people that you hang around with, finding good, godly, strong people to build relationships with, so that when you're down, when you're struggling with an issue, they can spiritually help pull you up. Amen? And part of the ways you can find those people is in a service like this, is amongst other godly Christians here at the Salvation Army. It's by going to a church like Victory Christian Center that picks up at the Day Center at 8:45 every Sunday morning. It's by going to maybe a small group, a home Bible fellowship group, a disciple group, and finding good people that you can build relationship with. And the week after that, we talked about reaching out to others less fortunate than us. And that's part of growing in your relationship with God. And guys, if you think about it, a toddler, he's all about me, 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 right? He cries and it's all about me. He's constantly on the taking and receiving end, right? And you know, a lot of Christians are that way. They're just on the taking and on the receiving end, right? Remember yourself as a baby. You were always there to take, and receive. But as you grew into adulthood, you started to do what? You started to give out of yourself, right? Now, if you work for an employer, for instance, you give of your time, right? As a responsible citizen of this country, you give of your taxes to the government, right? So as a responsible adult, you're giving out. Guys, it's the same way in your spiritual walk with God. If you want to mature in this walk, in this relationship with God, you've got to start giving out beyond yourself into the lives of others. And you might be thinking tonight, well, Jonathan, I'm so much in need myself. How can I give beyond myself? And guys, if you keep thinking that way, if you're trapped by that mentality, that victim mentality, you'll always remain a spiritual infant in the kingdom of God. Guys, there is somebody out there tonight less fortunate than you, and you as a follower of Christ can reach out to them. Amen? And as you reach out to them and you take that little step, guess what? You start to grow in your relationship with God, and you take another step. And then finally, it's a bigger step and a bigger step, yeah, to the point where you are running with God and eventually just flying and soaring in your relationship with God. And the week after that, we talked about, you know, sometimes getting weak and weary and reaching out beyond ourselves. Now, how many of us sometimes get really tired and weary? Maybe you work a long day, maybe people are pulling on your emotions, and you just get tired, and you just don't feel like you can step out beyond yourself, right? How many have felt like that before? I know I have, many times. And we talked that week about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, the supernatural empowerment of God to reach out beyond yourselves into the lives of others. Amen? And a lot of times in Acts, and evidence, the main evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit, to be baptized means to be immersed in the Spirit of God, to literally be just over flooded by God's Spirit, to be swimming in the waters of God's Spirit. And one of the main evidences of baptism in the Spirit, of being immersed in the Spirit of God, is speaking in tongues, speaking in a heavenly language. And Paul the Apostle writes in 1 Corinthians 14, 3 and 4. He says this, he says that tongues, when you pray to God in your own personal times, when you speak in tongues, you are edifying yourself on the inside. What does it mean to edify? It means to build yourself up on the inside, to strengthen yourself up on the inside. When you're communicating to God in this heavenly language, in tongues, you are being strengthened and empowered on the inside to reach out beyond yourself to those less fortunate than you with the love of God and with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And tonight, I want to talk about another main facet about growing in your walk with God. A major area that you need to concentrate on in growing in your spiritual relationship with the God of this universe. And it's this: getting into the Word of God. Getting into God's Word. You know what, guys? The books we read influence the way we think. And there may be some here tonight that like to read. How many here like to read? How many sometimes like to read the newspaper? Or maybe consistently like to read the newspaper? Well, you know, the newspaper a lot of times has a lot of bad news. And if you keep on meditating on that, it'll depress you and get you down on the inside. You know, the books we read also influence the way we see certain persons. How many of us here have heard of Oral Roberts? Or Billy Graham? Two evangelists, great evangelists. Ronald Reagan. I know that Billy Graham and Oral Roberts have both written autobiographies. I'm sure that Ronald Reagan also wrote an autobiography. And if you think about it, guys, those autobiographies, those books that they wrote, give us what? If we read them, it gives us a closer look and perspective into their lives, right? If you read the autobiography of Oral Roberts, Still Doing the Impossible, it gives you a closer look into the life and the ministry of Oral Roberts. It gives you a finer perspective of the man and who he is. You agree with that tonight? And I'm here to tell you guys this tonight. Guess what? This book right here, the Bible, you may not have heard this before, is the autobiography of God. This book is God's autobiography. God has written about Himself in this book through people He inspired to write these scriptures. Amen? This book, guys, is the autobiography of the Maker of this universe. And guys, He wants to reveal His nature to you through that book. Now, how does God's autobiography, the Word, the Bible, help us grow spiritually? How does this book, the autobiography of God, help us in our walk with Almighty God? How does it do it? How does it do it? It reveals, first of all, the nature of God to us. It reveals God's nature to us. And what does the Word of God say about God? It says that God is love. In Him there is no darkness. It doesn't say that God does love, which He does, but it says that the very nature of God is love. And He loves you so very much. It tells us about the grace and the mercy of God. What is the grace of God? Think about it. The grace of God is getting something that we did not deserve. It's a gift. Getting eternal life. Receiving forgiveness. Something we did not deserve. Why? Because God loved us. What's the mercy of God? This book, the autobiography of God, reveals the mercy of God to us. What is the mercy of God? The mercy of God is not getting what we deserve. What did we deserve? We deserved eternal punishment for our sins. And this autobiography, the autobiography of God, tells us that because God loved us so very much, He does not want us to be eternally punished in hell. He sent His very best 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, so that by a relationship with Him, we can be forgiven and go to be with God forever one day. Amen? That's what the Word of God reveals to us about the nature of God. So when you get into this autobiography, God's autobiography, you get to really discover the nature of God. And you know what, guys? The more you read this book, let me pick it up here. The more you read this book, the more you start to love God. Because why? You realize by reading this book how much He loved you and me. And once you start to realize how much He loved us, we start loving Him back. He who has been forgiven of much loves much. We love Him. Why? 1 John 4:19. Because He first loved us. And we discover His love in this autobiography. Amen? Amen. Alrighty, the second thing helps us in our walk with God by reading this autobiography, God's autobiography, is that it reveals God's will for us. It reveals the will of God for your life and for my life. Now, let me give you a hypothetical illustration here. Say that you have an older woman who lives to be about 85 years old, and her husband was a successful businessman, all right? Just imagine this scenario. And her estate was worth $1 million, right? And she writes out a will. The woman is the testator of the will. And she writes in her will, she's got two kids, she says, at my death, my estate will be split evenly between my two children. $500,000 and $500,000. Right? So the woman dies, and the children, after some legal processes, receive the estate half and half. It only took place, the will was revealed, and the will went into effect when the testator died, right? Guys, God's word is His will. And guess what? Our testator, Jesus Christ, died 2,000 years ago. He died and He rose again. He's seated at the right hand of God. And now, this will has been put into effect into our lives. Amen? But you know what? It does no good. You really don't know what His will is for your life unless you do what? Unless you read it and get into it. This is the will. It's been put into effect because the testator died, Jesus Christ. Now, how many here tonight want some of the benefits of that will? I do. Do you? Well, guess what, guys? In order to discover what those benefits are, you've got to get into the Word of God on a consistent basis. Amen? Guys, agree with that tonight? And look at what this will reveals to us. Jeremiah 29:11. We've heard it so many times, but it bears repeating here tonight. Jeremiah 29:11. And it says this. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God has a wonderful plan for your life, but it's revealed in His will, His written word, His autobiography, if you would. But you've got to get into it on a consistent basis. Guys, this word right here, this will, reveals the relationship that the Creator of this universe wants with you and with me. Let me say that again. This will reveals the relationship that God wants with you and with me. This will right here reveals the Holy Spirit of God that dwells on the inside of us as believers in Jesus Christ. It reveals that He wants to manifest some of the gifts of the Spirit through our lives. This will reveals that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Now, how many here tonight agree that this will, this word, is full of life for us, is full of good things for us? But guys, we've got to get into it on a consistent basis. On a consistent basis. It reveals the will of God for your life. And once you start to realize, wow, God has a great plan for my life. God loves me so very much. God's word says that He is love. He gave His very best. Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, if I were to be the only one on this earth, this God must really love me. He's got an awesome plan for my life. And once you realize what an awesome will He has for you, guys, it's easier to love Him. Does that make sense? It's easier to grow in your spiritual walk with Him. Amen? But you've got to get into it on a consistent basis. Another thing that getting into the autobiography of God will do to you is that it reveals the voice of God to us. Now, how many here agree tonight that in order to get to know a person better, you've got to talk to them? You've got to talk to them. How many here have built a relationship without words? Anybody? Built a relationship without words? Maybe sign language. How many here have built a relationship with another person without spending any time with them or communicating any words? None of us, right? It takes time and it takes words to build a relationship, right? So guys, guess what? The Creator of this universe, believe it or not, wants to sit and He wants to talk with you. He wants to hear your problems. He wants to know what needs you have. He wants to talk to you like any friend would talk to you. He wants you to talk to Him. And guess what, guys? He wants to respond back to you. And one of the main ways He responds back to us is through His written word. This is the Word of God talking to us. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We've heard it before, but it's good to hear it again. Psalm 119. It's all about the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, 105. And it says this: Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. What does that mean, guys? Now, let's imagine that this room was pitch dark at like 9:30 at night, right? There was no lights at all in this place. You'd probably be tripping over some stuff, right? Bumping into some stuff, right? But once you turn, let's say, a flashlight on, it kind of illuminates, it lights up the room. You can see everything clearly, right? Right? You agree with that? Guess what, guys? This is God's flashlight. It helps light up the dark places in our lives. You may be in a dark place tonight, guys. You may be in a confused place tonight. You don't know which way to turn, which way to go, what word to speak to somebody, how to reconcile that relationship, how to get off some addiction. You may be in a very dark place tonight. Guess what, guys? The creator of this universe wants to sit and listen to you. And guess what? He wants to respond back to you through his what? Through his word. This is his autobiography. And guys, when he talks back to you from his word, it builds that relationship with you. Amen? Amen. So getting into the word of God is a main way, a major way in growing in your relationship with God. Another thing that getting into the autobiography of God does is this. It increases your faith and trust in God. Let's turn to Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17. It says this. Romans 10:17. It says, faith comes by what? Romans 10:17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Another translation says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many here want greater faith in God tonight? Anybody? How many want that deeper relationship of trust with God? I want it. I bet we all want it. Guess what, guys? To do it, we have to get into the Word of God. We have to meditate on the Word of God, because faith and trust come by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Read the Word to yourself. Read it out loud. Listen to people preaching the Word. Go to church on Sundays and on Wednesdays if you could, and listen to the minister proclaim the Word of God. It will increase your faith and your trust in God. Amen? And then getting the Word of God into you. And then this, to grow in your spiritual walk with God, then you've got to store this Word up on the inside of you. Yes, the Word of God will reveal His nature of love to you, His nature of grace and mercy. It will reveal His will for your life. It will reveal His voice to you. It will increase your faith. But in order for those things to happen, what do you have to do? Yet the very first step you've got to take is what? Is by taking this book, God's autobiography, and opening it and actually reading it. Guys, reading it. Not once or twice a week and then you skip a month, or maybe a whole week and then you skip 5 weeks, but reading it consistently on a daily basis. You may not have much time, or you may have a lot of time. You know, instead of reading maybe some of those other books, put more time into reading this book. Maybe get into the Gospel of John. Maybe you can't read 3 chapters. Read maybe 5 verses, starting with John 1. Read a chapter out of John. Read a chapter out of Genesis. Read and think about what you're reading, guys. First step you've got to take is what now? Is what? Is by actually opening the book and starting to read. What did the psalmist write in Psalm 119:11? He says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Guys, you've got to store the word of God up on the inside so that when you need an answer, he speaks from out of your heart. And to store the word of God up on the inside, you first got to read it with this eye channel, right? You've got to read it and you've got to think about it to store it up on the inside. It goes from your eyes to your mind, your brain, down into your spirit. But you've got to do what? Crack the book. Say it tonight. Say, I've got to crack the book. I've got to open God's autobiography and read it consistently. All right, guys. And then this, chew the cud. Let's look at Joshua 1:8. Chew the cud. Joshua 1:8. I'll explain that in just a minute. Joshua 1:8. Success. Very good, very good. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate on it day and night. Not only meditate on it like this brother, you ought to go a step further and memorize it. Is that good? Store it up on the inside so that when you need a response, an answer from God, the word that you store it up speaks to you. Now, what does a cow do? I'm not really a farmer, so I kind of know what cows do, but a cow eats the grass of the field, right? And it throws it back up, and it then takes it back in and digests it in one of its stomachs. And it throws it back up again, and then takes it back in again and digests it in its second stomach. And then throws it back up again, and takes it back in again and digests it in yet its third stomach. And does the same thing numerous times. And we're glad he does that, right? She does that, right? Wives. So that we can have milk, right? Is that right? Good. It's the same way with the Word of God. That cow chews the cud. He actually meditates on the grass that he's eating. He's chewing the cud. So guys, in the same way, you've got to meditate. You've got to chew on the cud of God's Word. You've got to read the Word of God and not just read it and forget about what you read, but you've got to read it and then think about what you read. How does this apply to my life? And think a little more. And think a little more. Don't just read words and let it go in one ear and out the other. But think about what you read. Chewing the cud of the Word of God. Meditating on God's Word. Amen? Does that make sense to you tonight? Can you see that picture? Make sense? Reading and thinking about what you've read out of the Word of God. And then, guys, getting into the Word of God is the spiritual breakfast of winners. Like Wheaties, the breakfast of champions. Getting into the Word of God is the breakfast, the spiritual breakfast of champions. And how many here like to eat breakfast when you can? Maybe bacon and eggs. Maybe cereal, maybe oatmeal. I do just about every morning. I bet we all do. Why? Because it's one of the most important meals of the day, right? It gives you physical strength and energy for your tasks of the day, right? It's the same way with the Word of God, guys. Guess what? You're going to have temptations that run across your path on a daily basis. You're going to have spiritual attacks that come across your path on a daily basis. And guess what, guys? You've got to be energized and equipped and ready to go and to face those attacks. How do you get equipped? By reading the Word of God early in the morning. By eating your spiritual breakfast, call the Word of God, and chewing that cud. A lot of people don't like to miss breakfast. Guys, why miss this breakfast? The most important of all. Does that make sense? Guys, getting it? Good, good. And you know what? God's Word, let's look at Isaiah 55 in closing tonight. God's Word, Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 11. From the NIV, 55, 10 through 11. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I think this is a great comparison, guys. God sends what? He sends the rain from heaven, right? To water the fields of the earth. And he sends it for a purpose, right? He sends the rain, and the rains, he says, will not return back to the heavens without watering the earth and making a harvest come about, right? The physical rain he sends will accomplish the purpose he set it out to accomplish. And he said, it's the same way, guys, with my word. I've sent my word from the heavens into the pens of inspired people. His word came from heaven to earth. And he says, as we get into it, it will not return to him empty. It will accomplish the purpose that it was set out to accomplish, just like the physical rain will accomplish the purpose of a harvest that it was set out to accomplish. But guys, for that, this word to accomplish God's purpose for your life, you've got to get into it. Because this will do you no good unless you know what the will says. Amen? Amen. Make sense to you tonight? So God's word will accomplish the purpose he has set it out to accomplish. Guys, it will not return back to God empty. It will accomplish it. His word has come from the heavens down into the earth of our lives, and we'll go back to the heavens and we'll accomplish its purpose. So guys, I'm just here to tell you tonight that you know what? God wants you to grow in your walk with Him, in your spiritual walk with Him. And to do that, we've got to do what? What is this called? What did I call this earlier? The what now? The autobiography of God. It reveals His what, number one? It reveals His nature. That He's a God of love, grace, and mercy. Second, it reveals what to us? It reveals His will for our lives. That will has been put into effect, right? By the death of the testator, Jesus Christ. You agree with that tonight? But in order to enjoy the benefits of that will, you've got to know what the will says. So you've got to read it, right? Number three, by getting into God's autobiography and growing closer to Him, you get to discern the voice of... The voice of who? You get to understand or discern the voice of God. Because why? This is God's Word. If you store it up on the inside and you're facing a problem, this Word stored up on the inside will do what? It will speak to you, right? So this allows you to hear clearly the voice of God as you get into His autobiography. Finally, it helps increase your faith and trust in God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And guys, for all those wonderful things to come about in your life and for you to grow closer to God by His word, you've got to actually you've got to jump into the word of God. Say, I've got to crack the book. Say it. I've got to crack the book. On a daily basis, read it and think about what I'm reading, because I want to grow closer to God. I want to know more clearly this God that I serve. Say it. I want to know more clearly this God that I serve. So I must get into His autobiography. In Jesus' name. Amen.